Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz, who's a little bit sick this week.
Alicia McCarthy and Ruby Neri have a show opening up over there at BAM PFA.
Oh, wow.
In Berkeley. On May 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs to August 26th. It's up all summer.
Wow. Is that going to be, do you know, have a sense of where that's going to be? Have you talked to someone on the inside? Is it going to be in the basement or like in the main gallery?
It's not in the main gallery because that Way Bay show, I think, is still up. It's going to be in the Matrix space where, you know, it's right off the main gallery. It's actually, depending on which way you walk when you first come in, it could be the first thing you walk to. Speaking of the Berkeley Museum, I went and saw the MFA show there.
You did? You're so good at seeing the MFA shows. I failed completely this year.
Okay, so Nikki Green, I love Nikki Green's work. She is one of my favorite artists in the Bay Area.
Me too.
And so she just got her MFA at Cal.
That's so exciting.
And her work was really interesting.
Does that show up for a little bit? Do you know what the dates are?
It is on view through until June 17th.
Okay, great. We've got a whole month, people, to go see that show.
Yeah, you can still make it. And that was their 48th annual master's exhibit. 50 years in 2 years. It'll be 50 years.
50 years of the program, huh?
Isn't that wild? I know that MFA started in the 70s, but they seem newer than that, the way we all talk about it.
Well, I think it's just mostly because we're talking about whether or not they're worth worthwhile.
Yeah, because they're so expensive now. Okay, point is, Maysoon, Nikki Green had work in there that was a little more abstract than her usual stuff, but there still were discernible wieners in the mix, because there's a lot of dicks in her work.
And Nikki Green is a ceramicist, just for those of you who are not familiar with her work. So this is all work, all ceramic, all clay.
So there was another artist that I really liked also, along with Nikki Green, named Rachel Stallings, who made all this weird, also some ceramic work, also handmade carpet that was kind of like, almost like an abstract painting, but out of carpet, okay?
I love it. That sounds crazy.
And like also some kind of clothes kind of stuff. It was a lot of very strange crafted stuff, weird stuff, spoons, these funny like butter dish kind of looking things with animal heads coming off.
Whoa.
It just was a lot to look at. Sometimes these, especially I feel like at Cal, shit gets real cerebral.
Yeah.
You know? And there's not a ton to dazzle the eye.
Right. Or not a ton to kind of draw you in, maybe.
I just like my eye dazzled.
I'm going to get you an eye bedazzler, Kate, just for your special birthday.
I'm pretty basic, man. Also, hot news, Maysoon, Jack Fisher's got to show up.
Oh, God. Jack Fisher, when don't you have a show up?
He's got one up, I'll tell you that much. There's also a new show, a new gallery over there in Minnesota Street Project.
Really? How are they have a new gallery? Oh, I guess they have, galleries have moved around.
Et al., et cetera, since they moved on.
Yeah.
There is a new gallery in that space.
What's it called? Tell me more.
Let me tell you the name of it. It's called Burning in Water.
The gallery's called Burning in Water?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're kind of from the East Coast or something. They have a show up by this artist named Valerie Hegarty. And this is also some very strange ceramic work. There's like, it's kind of campy ceramics of like fruits and foods and stuff. And also some like funny ships.
Okay.
And then it'll have like a watermelon with teeth on it.
Do you recommend other people go see it?
It's pretty bizarre work. I liked it. I liked it a lot. And it sounds like their next show is also going to be an East Coast person.
So they're trying to infiltrate the Bay Area with East Coast folks?
I was kind of like, good luck with that, because it seems like the Bay Area doesn't always come out for artists that aren't from here if they're not like super famous.
That's true. That's kind of annoying.
Maysoon, Bay Area Now is coming up.
Oh, God. Are they still doing that?
They're still doing it. It's a triennial, right?
Was the last one the one where they had other people curate it? Or am I just, like, so behind the times?
Yeah, they, like, invited... How did they do that? They, like, invited people from different spaces and nonprofits and stuff, and then had them invite the artists? Well, I'm looking forward to it.
I went to a couple openings last weekend that are still open. One of them was Margaret Tedesco curated this really awesome exhibition at et al., etc. on Mission Street. It's about Kurt McDowell, who is a local artist.
It was from his collection, right?
From his collection, but it was work by him and also of him. And so there's all these other artists who had done drawings of him, like George Kuchar or Mike Kuchar. One of the Kuchars, excuse me, sorry, Margaret, had work in there as well. It was a really sweet show. There's a lot of small works that you can sort of spend a lot of time looking at. I would highly recommend it. There's a really good crowd that came out, of course, not surprising.
There's a show coming up at Patricia Sweetow Gallery. Okay. It's called Howl. If you're looking for her gallery, it used to be at 77 Geary, but now I think it's over here in the East Bay, right? Or no, it's not. It's on Potrero.
I haven't been to her gallery in quite a while.
She's at 315 Potrero Avenue. It's like Potrero and 16th, where the galleries are over there. There is a show. The show is called Familiar Face by Jiha Moon. And there's going to be ceramic, sculpture, wall sculpture, and painting. And also, there's art of paintings in glitter.
Okay.
By Jamie Vasta. I think that might be a separate show. That's called Howl.
Okay.
And the opening for that is Saturday, May 19th from 3 to 6, and it's going to be running until June 30th. And Jiha Moon and Weston Teruya are going to be in conversation at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 19th. Head out there. This work looks very strange and interesting. Wait, Maysoon, we got to do our voter guide like next week.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting it organized.
Okay, let's commit to it now publicly.
Okay. Next week, everyone, will be...
Because early voting has already started.
Yes, early voting has started. So next week, we'll be giving you a detailed step-by-step, vote-by-vote guide for you to follow or not follow.
If you are absolutely have to vote before the next episode comes out, when you get the critical information that you can't live without from Congratulations Pine Tree... Then just know that I believe Maysoon has made her endorsement, her mayoral endorsement.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Maysoon.
You want me to tell you?
Yes.
I'm voting Leno and then Kim. Okay. But I won't be mad at you if you vote Kim and then Leno.
Will be mad if you vote anybody else.
Not anybody else. There's some folks who I just don't think should be in office at all. And some folks who I just think aren't really viable enough, but they're probably great candidates.
Okay, now, is this kind of a thing now in San Francisco where everybody's kind of Leno? It seems like I've seen other people say that they're kind of doing a Leno Kim 1-2.
Yeah. Those two candidates just teamed up. They actually, in their campaign, are like, we're running together, basically.
Oh, wow.
Where there's ads of the two of them saying, vote Leno Kim. Vote Kim Leno. Like, they're basically endorsing each other as well, so...
Well, but is that going to fuck things up? Because if everybody is stoked for them, but, you know, it's kind of split where half the people have Leno first, half the people have Kim first. You know what I mean? Because it goes, when they do it, they're just counting number one, right? And if nobody gets the majority... They move on to two.
Well, but the person who doesn't get the majority in the number one slot actually gets completely removed from the election.
Say what now?
This is what I've read. I'm sorry. Fucking rank choice voting is really fucking confusing. And I've been trying to wrap my head around it, which is why I haven't been ready for the voter guide yet.
Well, I should know this too, because this is how we do it in Oakland.
Yeah, it is how you do it in Oakland. But my understanding is that first they count the votes in rank one. If you don't get a 50% majority, no one wins round rank one. And the person who doesn't, the person who has the highest percentage stays in, and the person who has the lower percentage gets kicked out.
So like how low?
I don't know. But to me it made it sound like if Leno and Kim are in the running for the first, let's say, you know, and Leno has some like 48% and Kim has 43%. My understanding is that Kim gets eliminated from the race completely, which sucks because she could potentially win in rank two. So I don't know.
Well, wait, ho, ho, hey, ho, hang on. Maysoon.
Yep.
But if she comes in second in the first round, she stays in, right?
Yeah. I hope so, because you tell me if it makes sense. I tell you I've looked a million times. Let me tell you, I talk to people who are educated, working here in the city, who are like, oh, I'm going to do Leno, Kim, and then Breed. And they're like, yeah, I'll probably do that too. And I was like, wait, but do you want Breed to win? And they're like, no, God, not at all. And I'm like, well, why would you vote for Breed at all? Like, why would you vote for someone you don't want to win in your third place? Just fucking don't vote for your third place. You know what I mean?
Or pick somebody that, I mean, there's not a third person that they would like to have win. Because Breed has a major chance of winning.
She has a huge chance of winning, of course, which is like, why would you, if you actually don't want her to win, why would you add to her chances of winning by voting for her in any rank?
Exactly.
So that's like, that was one thing I like on Facebook was like, here's the deal, guys. You don't have to vote for three people just because there's an option to vote for three people. Like, just vote for the people you actually want to win. Like, try that first, please. Because that totally stressed me out. Like, everyone just thinks there's three candidates. And it's like, no, there's actually a lot more. And we don't have to vote for all three. And you know.
Maysoon, I'm going to put a sound clip in of someone explaining how it works.
With this system, it's not enough just to get the most votes. You have to get a majority of them. Let's explain. You have four candidates. Duck, Grey Duck, Goose, and Ludafisk. Let's say Duck gets 55% of the first place votes.
Duck.
Duck wins. No more counting. We're done. But if no one gets more than 50%, the candidate with the fewest votes is out. See ya, Ludafisk.
Here we go.
So in this case, Ludafisk's second place votes are given to the candidates still in the race. Let's count again without the dried whitefish treated with lye. Still no 50%. This time, Goose is cut.
I've never actually heard of Grey Duck. What exactly is a Grey Duck?
Sorry, non-Minnesotans. Goose's second place votes go to the others, and any of Goose's votes that went to Ludafisk, that's where the third choices are divvied up. And look here, Grey Duck wins.
Grey Duck.
Here's the thing, your vote still counts if you only vote for one candidate. But think about it, if that candidate you vote for is cut early on, your voice isn't as loud as it could have been. Got it?
Thank you.
Oh, election
Sorry,
season.
I'm getting stressed out. Stressing me out. You know what? And whoever wins, it's temporary. They'll have to run again in 2020?
They do?
Yeah, because they're just finishing out Mayor Lee's term.
God, that's stressful for
them,
I think.
So they're just in for a little bit, and then they have to run again against whatever new batch of people are up.
That's very stressful for them because they're going to be under a lot of pressure to do amazing shit immediately.
Yeah, they're going
to
be under tons of scrutiny.
That's hard.
Do it up, people.
Hey, good news, everybody. There's some major queer stuff going on at the De Young on Saturday, May 26th.
Right, I just don't remember. Okay, so the De Young's having a closing reception for, I believe they're called DIS, D-I-S, and they're an art collective. They've had an installation in the atrium for at least a year now. It's this big video installation that's amazing. There's probably 13 videos. They're all fucking weird as shit, which is super fun to watch in that big space. But they're having a closing reception on Saturday, May 26th, and there will be performances by Brontez Purnell. Yeah, exactly.
Casey J. Nelson and Fatima Al-Qadiri.
Okay, cool. So you guys should go. We're going. Kate and I will be there. Maybe this could be the... Should we do something where we do like a CPT night out? Friend of the show, listener of the show, Allison Pebworth has an opening coming up on tomorrow night, Saturday. Saturday night from 5 to 8 at Incline Gallery. It's called Distorted Symmetries, and it will be worth going to for sure. I'm excited about that.
I went to SFAI's MFA show.
I do like that new space, I have to say. I was there for the first time a couple of weeks
ago. At Fort Mason? Did you see the show?
No. I was there a few weeks ago before the show.
It was tragically awful, I thought. As a space to have an art show, I thought it was terrible.
Well, so where is the work? Like, when you walk in, it's just like this big open middle space, and then there's two levels, and it looks like there's these small kind of rooms off to each side, and it's kind of maybe a little bit dark, see a feeling, for an art space.
I don't know.
Well, so, there's lots of, like, light. There was plenty of light coming in and stuff, but it's just, like, that's the thing. Like, maybe it was because I was there on the day that Kehinde Wiley was coming to, like, give a talk.
Okay.
For, like, their commencement or whatever.
Yeah.
But they had the art just, like, squirreled away in all these little cubby holes and stuff. There wasn't... I just felt like it was an awkward.
Oh, like they moved everything around for the commencement? Is that what you
mean? I don't know if they had a ton of stuff, like sculptures or something, in that middle space. Uh-huh. But everything was kind of off to the sides, or like there were a couple. What? It made me a little depressed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Weird. So there's no. So where did artists show their work?
Just all over. There was like stuff in people's studios. There was stuff in hallways. There was like a weird thing. You go up the stairs and there were videos in the little side space.
So it felt very unceremonious is what it sounds like.
It just felt like it felt a little bit like an art fair where you've got this giant cavernous space.
Yeah.
With all these little sections cordoned off.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And it also, I don't know, man. And it's like, funny that there were a few artists whose work I liked a lot. Let me say who they were. There was an artist named Mo Shaw who had these photographs and a video of what looks like oceanscapes, like just the open water. But then you really inspect them and it's plastic sheets. And maybe it's kind of a one-liner, but I thought it was kind of clever. And then there were also these soft sculptures that were kind of like tulle or some kind of like mesh kind of material by Alyssa Davis. And she would make kind of like household objects like a bong and like a vibrator.
That's funny.
In like this neon mesh material. I thought those were interesting. And then there was this dude who made these watercolor paintings. These were very prominently displayed. Of him having, like, really weird sex.
Well, anything with sex you're into. So, that good move, everyone.
Yeah, right? There was one where he had his entire head inside of a lady's vagina.
Wait, what? That's not real.
No, it was a watercolor painting, so.
Oh, sorry. I'm like, hold on a second.
But they were, like, they were extremely realistic. I'm not sure about the content of this guy's work. But he was a very skilled technician. Were they fantastical?
Like what? Yeah. What did you get away? What did you get with that? Were they kind of like more in the lewd vein, or were they fantastical, or what were they? How did they come off?
Well, they're all in these like really strange positions, and he talks about feminine. His artist statement was, I feel like all the artist statements I read weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, SFAI. God bless you. You all did your work. You know, it's hard. Being a grad student.
Kate's teaching there this summer if you want to go and give her shit.
Well, but anyhow, but it seemed like, I mean, he's putting himself in these very intense, vulnerable positions. There's one where he's like doing the airplane, you know, where the woman's like got him up in the air.
Your feet are like on their hip bones or whatever.
So I don't know. They seemed like not totally misogynist.
But kinda. You're like, this is still kind of not on point.
I'm just not sure what was going on there. But they were well made, and I'll say that.
Cool.
But anyhow, that artist's name was Ian Mitchell Wallace. So those were the three artists of the 755 of them that were there.
I think it's interesting that SFAI... How do they used to do it? I guess they've always done, like, the huge shows, but it now feels like they're now more like CCA used to be, where they have their own space, and it's this huge cavernous thing, and all the artists show in their little cubicles. But CCA's been moving out of that format and having smaller sort of group exhibitions throughout a different, well, MSP for sure.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that that's a way better way to do it, even though I was kind of like, oh God, now I have to go multiple times.
It's a lot of work for us, but it's definitely better for the students, and that is more important when it's their experience.
Yeah, because it's just too many goddamn things to look at.
Well, it's just like the whole,
my eyeballs can't take in all that.
Yeah, the whole art fair thing. It's like, actually give them the right amount of space and for their show, for their work.
I also went to Stanford's MFA show. Sean Howe, friend of the show, just got his MFA there. He also had a bunch of sculptures back at the studio area that are outside. I wonder if they'll still be accessible if listeners want to go check those out.
Were you into them? Were you just like, you got to go try to find those sculptures?
Yes, because they were really of like these weird like found objects and styrofoam and metal elephants that were really like blobby and funny and strange. But most of his work was paintings.
And other work in the show? How are they showing now over there at Stanford? I haven't been to a Stanford show in a long time.
They have it in this little, this place that I'd never been to before. Their little, it's just an art gallery. It's not like a part of the Cantor Center or any of that stuff. It's like a separate art gallery. It was very nice. I thought it was a great space.
Cool. Very cool.
But it's right next to the fucking Hoover Institute.
Man.
So you're like in the shadow of like war.
That's so weird.
I know.
That's so weird. They should just stage protests every week. How come no one protests? Does anyone protest the Hoover Institute down there? The students?
I think people do. I think there's been artists that have done projects where they like tried to like meditate and cause the Hoover Institute to like fly away into space.
We're trying to get it to levitate out of here completely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Also, this weekend on Saturday, there's an opening at the Growlery, which is a really hard word to say in general. Our friend Layla Weefer has a show opening there called Noise and Thirst. It's a video installation that presents blackness as an inhabitant of the space between noise and silence and thirst and satisfaction. It's also the closing reception for Angela Hennessy's work there, which is called Black Holes.
Get to it, people. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to be there.
You know, Maysoon, I get real depressed after an opening of my own work.
I know.
So listeners want to talk and share their feelings about stuff like that, go ahead, give us a call, 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. We're also always interested in contributions you might want to do for the show. We'll give you recording equipment, and we'll pay you to go do some weird audio thing, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, not whatever you want, but something cool.
Pretty close to whatever you want.
Yeah. So send that to us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Okay, Maysoon, I'll be seeing you when you're feeling better. From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.